ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Shri Shuka Uvacha. Abhishtuya. I'm sorry, I missed a word. Iti. Abhishtuya. Purusham. Yatrupam. Anidam. Yata. Brahma. Ishano. Purudaya. Deva. Patiyayu. Divam. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Ityabhishtuya Purusham. Yadrupam Anidam Yata. Prameshano Purudaya. Devra Pratiya Yurdivam. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Ityabhishtuya Purusham. Yadrupam Anidam Yata. Prameshano Purudaya. Deva Pratiya Yudivam. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Ityabhishtuya Purusham. Yadrupam Adidam Yata. Prameshanu Purudaya. Deva Pratiya Yurdivam. Please, ladies, please.
Thank you.
Deva. Sri Shukla. Like to chant. Okay. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, Iti, in this way, Abhishtuya, offering prayers, Purusham, unto the Supreme Personality, Yat Rupam, whose form, Anidam, transcendental, yata, as Brahma, Lord Brahma, Ishano, and Lord Shiva, Purudaya, keeping them in front, Deva, all the demigods, Pratiyayu, returned divam to their heavenly homes. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. After thus offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the Transcendence, all the demigods, with Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva before them, returned to their homes in the heavenly planets. Please repeat. After thus offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the Transcendence, all the demigods, with Lord Brahma, take the benediction of having the Supreme Personality of Godhead as her son, Devaki Nandana. So I just want to stop for a moment here. For those who may not be familiar with what is being referred to here, we go back actually to the time of when the creation was completed, and Lord Brahma was asking those whom he had created, the forms that he had created, to please increase the population of the universe so that there would be persons would have an opportunity to fulfill the desires that they had before the last cycle came to an end, and so they would get that opportunity, and they would also get the opportunity to become purified through the process of karma yoga, bhakti yoga. So therefore he had asked the various persons who were close to him, and Vrishni and Sutapa. Vrishni was the female, and Kasutapa was the male, and they are on a high demigod status. And they decided that because they wanted to have the best possible progeny, the best possible, and which would give rise to the best possible population, that they would perform a tremendous and most severe degree of austerity to strive to be worthy of earning the hope, the possibility of having the Supreme Lord as their son. So they did exactly that. They entered into the forest. Perhaps they had a little hut, and they stayed in the forest for over 12,000 years by the time of the demigods. And they performed tremendous austerities. They bore the cold weather when the cold weather came, the blazing sun when it was very hot, when the rain was teeming. They took and bore all of this, and in addition to that, the food that they maintained themselves on were leaves which had fallen to the ground. In other words, they were already old and dried and crisp. So just imagine the amount of austerity of just living on leaves for so long. And it was their position, it was their understanding that if you want the greatest, that you have to do a tremendous amount of a tremendous amount of sadhana, or severe austerities. That's exactly what they did. And after some time, as I mentioned, the Lord appeared there and asked them what they would like, and they did not ask for liberation. That was not what was most interesting to them or most desirable to them. What they wanted is a very personal and very close relationship with the Lord himself. And so they asked if they could have the Lord as their son. And since they had performed such severe austerities for such a long time, the Lord said, well, you can not only have me for one birth, but you can have me for three births. And that's exactly what happens. The Lord is born as known as Prajnigarbha, is the first incarnation that they have him. The second is between Kashyapa Muni and Aditi. Aditi is the mother of the demigods. That's why Devaki is sometimes referred to as a demigoddess, because that was her position in her previous lifetime. And Kashyapa Muni was her husband. And now in this third incarnation, which would be the last incarnation, because from here, in this incarnation, they would get the opportunity to have a close and personal relationship with Krishna. Unfortunately, they were not able to have this close relationship with Krishna for the first 11 and three-quarter years of his life, which actually means that he looked 15 years old, and he's often referred to as appearing like 15, but in the purport by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he does mention that they were Krishna and Balaram were approximately 11 and three-quarters old. So the persons who got the opportunity to have Krishna and Balaram as their personal sons, whom they could guide, whom they can direct, whom they could feed, they could clothe, and they could enter into the various pastimes with him, was Yashoda and Nanda. And they also had asked Lord Brahma, when they were asked to populate the world, they asked if we could have a very close, intimate relationship with the Supreme Lord, and Brahma agreed to this. So he had a difficult task on his hand, because he had to satisfy the desires of both parties. So therefore, he, for the first, as I said, 11 and three quarter years, Nanda and Yashoda got to raise Krishna and guide him, direct him, and have this very loving and very personal and very intimate relationship, so intimate that the mother Yashoda would hold him, and she would give him the opportunity to suck her breast, and this is very close, very, very close. And she also got the opportunity to chastise him and try to make him into a good boy, because he would often get into a lot of mischief. That's a little ironic and rather humorous, because Krishna is the source of all morality and all ethics and all righteousness, and here she is trying to make him become a good boy so that he doesn't become a criminal in the future. It's a little funny. So, and then after that, of course, as we know, Krishna and Balaram, it's time for them to enter another phase of their life, which is going from the Vaishya phase, or the farm phase, to the Kshatriya phase, and to become the great generals that, of course, they deserved to be. And also to do what they had originally come to do. And that is, of course, they were doing that also in Vrindavan to some extent. And that is whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend to this world to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium, Krishna says. So he began doing that, of course, by, you might say, killing demon after demon when he was in Vrindavan. Of course, we know that this is amongst the authorities, it is said, and Prabhupada mentions that also in the Krishna book and in the Bhagavatam, that the Krishna has different moods, and the fighting mood is known as the Vasudeva mood, and the playful mood, or the pastime mood, is known as the Krishna mood. So Krishna is the person who has all these loving, friendly, playful interactions with his boyfriends and girlfriends. And the one who does the fighting, that is the mood of Vasudeva. So persons who are purists in this emphasize that we should not mix the two up, otherwise we enter into what is known as a rasa basa, or mixed mixed rasas. So coming back now, so I just wanted to kind of make that very clear, that where it says over here that Devaki, therefore, in accordance with the desire of her former life, now had the opportunity to seek the benediction of having the Supreme Personality of Godhead as her son, Devaki Nandana. What we can learn from just what I spoke of, well, let me just end it with the last paragraph. I don't want to skip over again. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 2nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Prayers by the Demigods for Lord Krishna in the Womb. So what we learn from this is that if you want something great, want something beautiful, something wondrous, something which is truly the most valuable possession in the world, that according to the example that Prajni and Sutapa they set, is that they put in a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of severe penance, a lot of severe austerities, and they didn't complain, they didn't object, they did it because they felt that Krishna was worthy of such. And if he's worthy of such, in other words, to have such a great, such a wonderful, glorious person as your son, then you have to do something and you have to try to be worthy of it. Similarly, all of us are striving for higher degrees of realization, God realization. We want to do our service beautifully for Krishna. We want to develop true love for Krishna. We want to be able to glorify him with the most beautiful prayers. We want to be able to surrender to him in totality. We want to all that. So it just doesn't come by simply wishing for it. We have to do something. And the austerities that we have here are the means by which it can occur. Srila Prabhupada has set up this very wonderful, marvelous program where you get up very early in the morning. You come here, you greet the deities in the morning. We offer our prayers to them. And it's also very good at some point during the day to repeat these prayers in a language that we fully understand. Some of us speak Spanish, and they have been translated for Spanish speaker. Most of us speak English, and some of us may speak French or whatever. But it's at least I find from my own personal situation is that I like to go over these prayers, the Samsara Dava Nalalita Loka. I like to go over them in English because they are very, very potent, and they're very instrumental in directing us to fully and truly appreciating with a great feeling what Srila Prabhupada is. For example, the spiritual master is receiving benediction from the ocean of mercy. Just as a cloud pours water on a forest fire to extinguish it, so the spiritual master delivers the materially afflicted world from the blazing fire of material existence. Now, I offer my humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. And then we go on, and then, of course, we have the last one, if I can remember it. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Therefore, one should always remember and praise the spiritual master. At least three times a day, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the spiritual master. So these are very great prayers. And many of us are simply chanting the Sanskrit, which gives what benefit? Because Sanskrit, as we know, is the language of the Lord, of the gods. It's the language of the spiritual world. So yes, just even chanting that gives great benefit. But also knowing the meaning of what we're chanting and trying to implement, trying to apply what we have heard in our daily life. In other words, giving Srila Prabhupada the respect, the honor, the glory, and the reverence that he solely deserves. Actually, we can never give him enough. That is the reality of it. But the very fact is that these prayers are so wonderfully constructed and been prayerfully uttered. Is it Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur? Is he the author of those samsara prayers? Somebody can help me? Yeah? Is that true? I don't hear anybody. Okay. Yes, I don't want to mislead anyone. So yes, so we have the Acharya giving these prayers and the translation by Prabhupada. So that puts us into a close connection, and helps us through that connection to become more and more attached to Srila Prabhupada. And it is that attachment, as the last verse says, that I just spoke a few moments ago, by the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. And without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. So we want to get that grace. That grace is so valuable. It's so precious. It's so it's so great. And when we have that grace, we feel that grace. And we feel it in the form of wanting to express more love to Krishna, more love to Prabhupada, in the form of loving service to them. We feel that our service is really doesn't even come up to what they truly deserve. And when we have that idea in mind, and sometimes we're a little bit tired, we may be distributing books, or maybe cooking, or maybe cleaning, or whatever, a little bit tired, and you just want to stop completely. But if you think how great Prabhupada is, what he did, he didn't stop till the last dying moment. He was whispering the Bhagavatam. He didn't stop. So we should use that as an example. And that example should be like a light in front of us. That's how we get his grace. And we don't praise ourselves. We don't feel proud of that I'm stretching it. I'm striving harder. I'm trying more. But our feeling is that Prabhupada deserves much more than we can even give. So our prayer should be, oh Lord, give me more energy. Give me more power. Give me more intensity. Give me more enthusiasm. Give me more love so that I can give to the spiritual master, if that's possible, what he duly deserves. So this is an attitude which is very, very welcome from the great spiritual masters, because it indicates a humility. It indicates a humility is not just walking around, you see, with a serious face, with your head bent, or throwing yourself and paying obeisances 1,000 times a day. It's more than that. It's an attitude. It's an inner feeling of appreciation, of gratitude, which manifests as love. So I just wanted to make that point very clear of how we can obtain the grace of the spiritual master. We should not think it just comes. Of course, the very fact that he's here in his deity form here, that's giving us grace. But there are many different degrees of grace, starting from one to infinity. And our goal should be to go higher and higher so that we can offer more and more of love to Srila Prabhupada, in the hope that we will get his blessings, and we will ultimately, one day, be able to continue our loving service in the spiritual world, in whatever form Krishna wishes us to be. So that's the first thing I wanted to deal with. Here we have, it's mentioned also that many people saw Krishna during the time when he was appearing, but they could not recognize him as the Supreme Lord. And they just saw him as an ordinary person. Some thought of him as just as a general, just as, you know, as a powerful person, or as a cute little cowherd boy. But he was more than that. But to those, as it mentioned in the purport, those who are devotees, what does it mean to be a devotee? One who is surrendered. I have nothing, Krishna. I am nothing, Krishna. I do nothing except what you let me do. I am totally, completely, fully dependent upon your mercy. Without your mercy, you might as well squelch me into zero. But with your mercy, there is no end to what I can accomplish, because you're the one who's really accomplishing it. So when we have this kind of mentality, what happens is that we become very joyful, very blissful, very uplifted, and we can also do marvelous, amazing things, as we have seen our Srila Prabhupada do. Actually, it's so, as time goes on, I begin to appreciate more and more, because Krishna purifies us. The purification is that we appreciate the great spiritual master more and more, greater and greater, higher and higher, as the purification takes place. Whereas I remember in earlier years, I took many, many things for granted. And I'm sure some of us may be doing that even now. But this can all be overcome by just praying very hard for appreciation and knowing that through appreciation and through affection and through service, we can gain more and more grace. And the grace, of course, the ultimate grace, is that we can see Krishna, we can talk to Krishna. Krishna is manifesting in our heart. He manifests through our words. He manifests through our service. And we touch hearts, we move hearts, we steer people into loving devotional service who otherwise may not have even had the slightest idea of this. So many of us were in that category. People receive a book, they open the book, and some potency is released, and they suddenly feel that there's something more to life. There's a recollection of something. In other words, we have forgotten the Supreme Lord. All of us have been in this forgetful state. But when we read this book, which carries this potency to, like an arrow, it shoots into the heart and causes a recollection of something, something mysterious, something evanescent, something that we can't put our hands on, but something that we know we must have. And so we read further into the book, and finally we come to the back, and we call up the temple, or you come to the Sunday feast, or something. And it's gradually, over a period of time, we become devotees, and we strive harder and harder, and we try to share this with others. You see, so this is what Srila Prabhupada came for us. He wanted it not just to stay with a small cadre, a small group, and that would be it. He built a house in which the whole world could live. And he wanted that house, you see, the house is there in the form of these teachings, in the form of these books, in the form of the practices. And if we all live up to that, if we practice it, and we manifest the benefits that come from it, then people will automatically say, you know, this person is so peaceful, this person is so joyful, this person is so full of affection, and they want to hear more. I had an interesting humorous experience just yesterday, I think it was. Now, I was just doing my japa, walking up the block, and and I passed a car, and the car had writing all over it, and I kind of glanced at it, and it had the kind of writing which says, you know, the whole world is corrupt, be careful, people are trying to exploit you, watch where you walk, watch who you talk with. It was kind of like almost a bit of the kind of paranoia that you get where, anyway, every part of his car was covered with this. And as I was walking here, the person who owned the car approached me. And he was carrying it looked like kind of a crystal pyramid. It was about so big, like this. He says, "Excuse me, sir, can I just talk with you for just a few moments?" I says, "Sure." He says, "You know, I want to give you something really great." I says, "Really?" He says, "Yeah. I want you to put your fingers on this, the top of the pyramid, and you're going to become so charged with energy and power, you can't even believe it." I said, "Really?" He says, "Absolutely." I said, "You know, I'm going to tell you a little secret." He says, "What's that?" I says, "I know the owner of the pyramid." "Is he owner?" He says, "Yes. You can't believe how much power, how much greatness, how much fame, how much glory the owner, the person who's the true creator of this." He says, "You know him?" I said, "I definitely do know him. In fact, I associate with him every day, for at least 2 hours every morning." So I said, "Well," he said, "who is that?" I said, "Well, I'll tell you. His name in general is God, but he has also a specific name called Krishna, which means all attractive, because when you look at him, you practically pass out looking at just how beautiful and how compelling and how affectionate he is." So then I went on to talk a little about about what Krishna consciousness is all about. He says, "Yeah, I know. I got, wait. So he reached into his car and he pulled out a book. I thought he was going to give me a book. So So he says, it's a book, The Perfection of Yoga. And he says, yeah, I got this book. But he said, I never read it now. I said, now you've got to read it so that you know something about the owner of this, or the creator of this pyramid. And you will begin to gain more and more power in your life, if that's what you're looking for. But better than power is love. He says, yes, that's what I want. I want to love. I want to express love. So I said, okay, I'll make an appointment with you. Can you keep an appointment? Because he lives in his car, so I don't know. So anyway, he says, I'll try. So I said that on Sunday, I'm giving a talk here at 5:15 at the temple. We were just over there. I said, would you please come? And after the talk, then we can sit down and we can have a nice big 6 or 7 course dinner. And I'll tell you all about the philosophy in great detail and tell you how you can even join, how you can become a member. He says, well, you know, I'm just living in my car. I said, well, we have some one devotee, I was referring to somebody over here. He wanted to become a member, but we don't just let you just move in just like that. We try to qualify so that everyone who's here gets the best of the best. So he said, well, what do I? I said, this devotee, this person who's living there now, I said, he was living on the streets, living on the beach. And when he came to join, we told him, no, you've got to come to the program every day at 4:30 and come through the whole program. Well, that's not easy for somebody who doesn't have any roots, at least at that point. So I told him, that person has become, you can't believe it, it's incredible. He travels all around California distributing these books, and his whole mood is completely different. He's together, he's orderly, he's focused, he's centered, and he has a love for God just like you want. He says, I can develop a love for God? I say, absolutely. That's a guarantee, and I'll tell you how to do it. Then, if you're further interested, I'll introduce you to some of the people who can guide you and direct you. So I thought that is very interesting. The point of it is sometimes people come to us, and they try to give us something to make us better and higher. We have to always come forth and let them know we have the highest, we have the biggest, we have the greatest, we have the most powerful, and therefore, whatever you have can only fit into this. And it cannot top this. So what we have will top what you have, and you will be a better person for it. So I've already talked way too much. I never even talked about what I came to talk about. So I keep forgetting when I go to out of state. They give me an hour and a half to talk. You know, you're a guest. So I'm not a guest here. So it's already 20 minutes after. I'm very sorry for even going over, but I will take at least one question, if any of you have, about this whole process of trying to earn the, if you want to call it, the right to have the loving association of Krishna through austerities, through penance, through affection, through gratitude. Are there any questions on this? Everybody agrees? You sure? You got 1 second more. Finished. Have a great prasadam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Hari Bol. Thank you, Prabhu. That was that person.